This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 430.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. Do you ever struggle to find time to create content for your business? If that sounds familiar, you probably fall into one of these three camps. So camp number one, you can manage to stay consistent with your content for, say, a few weeks at a time, but something always seems to happen that throws you off course. Something happens in your business, you just get really, really busy and you miss a deadline and it just feels, or sometimes it can feel like you're always starting again. It's like being on and off a diet. You're always starting again with your content on Monday. Camp number two, you're actually pretty good at being consistent. You enjoy making content and you do get everything done, but you always leave everything to the last minute. So content creation just always feels more stressful than it needs to be. It could be that you fall into camp number three. So if this is you, you are actually quite consistent. You're quite organized, which means your content is always done. But you just can't shake off this feeling that if you could get an even better system, then you could get more done in less time. So if any of that resonates with you, I think you're going to love this episode because in it, I'm going to share with you how you can batch a month's worth of content in just 30 minutes. Yes, I did say that right. A month's worth of content in just 30 minutes. I'm going to show you three different ways to do it. And it is all really about having systems and processes that you follow, which sounds boring, but it's actually what frees you up to be creative. So before we get into that content, I did want to mention something that is super relevant. So I've got a masterclass coming up that if any of this resonates with you, I think you're going to love this masterclass. So it's my Batch Like a Boss masterclass. It's happening online on November the 26th. So that's 2020 if you're listening in the future. But if you are listening in the future and you've missed the live class, don't worry, there will be a replay. So in this class, we are going to look at how you can batch content more effectively. So how you can create more content in less time, how you can repurpose the content that you've got. In fact, how you can create content with repurposing in mind so you can get more done more ahead of time, so you can really bring down those stress levels when it comes to creating content. And of course, you know, when you've got more content created ahead of time, that's actually what frees you up to be more spontaneous. So if you do like creating spontaneous content, then you'll have more time to do it. You'll have more energy to do it because you will have your content created further ahead of time and you'll have made better use of that content because you'll be creating it with repurposing in mind. You'll be making each piece of content that you create go further. So it's just all going to be a lot more fun creating your content. So if that sounds appealing, I'd love you to join me. The title of the class is Batch Your Content Like a Boss, and I will put a link in the show notes and I would love to see you there. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be sharing three methods that you can use to create 30 days worth of content for social media. And you might decide you want to use, I've got three different strategies for you. You might want to use them in isolation, or you might decide that you want to combine them, which is absolutely fine. So before we get stuck in, I do want to say, especially if you're thinking, how is that possible that you could batch create 30 days of content in 30 minutes? I do want to say that a lot of people really overthink social media content and actually they lose sight of the social in social media. So social media is really about having conversations. And a lot of business owners, particularly when they start promoting their business online, they think that every post has to be this really like long, involved caption, that there has to be like hours of thought that goes into it. But actually, social media is exactly that. It's just about being social. It's about getting to know people. It's about helping people to get to know you. And a lot of that is just about the ability to ask questions. And I'm pretty sure that you know how to ask questions and you know how to ask interesting questions. Now, I will talk about this a little bit more as we go, but I think the other misconception that you need to get over with your social media, if you haven't done already, is that it always has to be about business. In fact, if all of your posts are about business, people actually get quite bored quite quickly. What we have to remember is that people want to do business with people that they like and they've got common ground with. So if everything you post is just some dull old post about your business, your latest product or service, people will soon tune out. If you mix it up with some lighthearted or just some interesting conversation and questions, then people will still want to find out about you, but they're much more likely to be able to relate to you, to connect with you, because they'll find that common ground. And then they will go and check you out. And then when they do have a need for what it is that you offer, then they won't know about you. But just compare that with showing up and posting dull stuff that nobody ever reads, or compare that with showing up and posting some stuff about your business, but also posting general stuff that's just interesting and people have got opinions and ideas about. The second one is much, much preferable. I've seen it proved time and time again with my clients that you don't have to talk about business all the time. In fact, you do. It can actually, if you do that, it can actually be detrimental. It actually can be harmful to you and your business in terms of attracting your ideal clients and customers. It can actually kind of turn people off, or just mean like they just don't notice you, basically. So starting great conversations, being interesting, being fun, letting people know a bit about the person behind the business, that will do you far more good than posting worthy stuff about your business. They will go and check you out. They will want to find out more. And when they do have a need for a product or service like yours, yours will be the first name that they think of. It's all about developing this know, like, and trust. So method one is using awareness days. So if you don't know what awareness days are, they are dates or days that have been set up to celebrate or to raise awareness of a particular cause. Now, I don't know the exact history, but I think that it's kind of rooted in good causes and charity. So you'll know of some like big awareness days like Breast Cancer Awareness Day or Miscarriage Awareness Day or Premature Babies Awareness Day. I'm sure that's probably not the right title, but there are many awareness days that are about quite kind of serious topics. They're often based around fundraising, but actually nowadays there are many which are less serious, but that doesn't mean that they're less important. It doesn't mean that you can't create content out of them. And believe me, you can create content out of anything. You give me any topic, any awareness day, you can challenge me. I can think of a way to turn that into content. And actually, it can be quite fun sometimes using the sillier sounding ones. So let's just talk about how you could very quickly use awareness days to create a whole month's worth of content. So I'm basing this on creating 12 posts. We're going to create 12 posts. Now, I'm actually going to do it with you live on this podcast. I'm going to create 12 posts with you. Now, this leads into another question, which is probably a whole other episode. Now, is it okay to repurpose social media posts and post the same thing on different platforms? Absolutely, yes. You might need to have a little tweak because you might find that your audience is slightly different on different platforms. But if you're creating fresh content for different platforms, if you're not reusing things, then you are creating a hell of a lot of extra work for you. So I often would take exactly the same post, but maybe tweak it slightly for different platforms, slightly different treatment or presentation, and run it on the same day. Absolutely no problem with that at all. Nobody is going to stop and say, oh my gosh, Janet, I just saw you post something like that on Twitter. Like, people, seriously, they're getting on with their lives. They're not obsessing over what you've just posted. So you really can get away with this. And it's just sometimes about giving it a little tweak. So what I would suggest that you do if you want to use this approach is that you grab you can do this a month at a time. So if you've got a copy of my 2021 social media diary and planner, you've got all of these listed in the monthly section of the planner, but you just go through and you find 12 posts that resonate, that jump out with you because you think, you know, I potentially could say something interesting about that. So I'm going to do that with you right now. So I'm going to go through week 1 of January, week 2 of January, week 3 of January, and week 4 of January. I'm just going to pick out some dates that immediately jump out to me, and I'm going to create a post with you right now. So, New Year, instant post. Where were you spending New Year this year, or where would you like to be spending it? Post your reply in a GIF in the comments below. So that's a post. There's Introverts Day, which is on the 2nd of January. Do you regard yourself as an introvert or an extrovert? Let me know in the comments below. That is a social media post. If you can find a link to your business, brilliant. If you're a business coach, or if you're somebody that works with people around sort of their well-being or about personal development, something like that could be quite relevant, but it doesn't actually have to be. Then we've got Festival of Sleep Day, which is the first week of January. How I would turn that into a social media post is I would simply ask, are you a lark or a night owl? That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. That's a social media post. I would always suggest putting a call to action. So let me know in the comments below. And that's your post. People love talking about themselves. They love sharing their story. So we've done 3 posts already. Week 2, we have National Trivia Day. So what immediately springs to mind for me is I'm not very good at quizzes, but you know those kind of people who are really good at quizzes and they get all the answers and you think, how could they know all that? So a question I might ask is, like, would I want you in my quiz team or not? Are you good at quizzes? Are you good at trivia? So I might start that post by saying something like, have to confess, I'm not very good at quizzes. I'm just not very good at holding trivia in my head. What about you? Are you? Every time you ask a question, you turn it back to the audience, you are likely to get engagement. And I will talk about how to get engagement if your account is new in just a second. Okay, so another question I might ask for that one is, if you were in my quiz team, what would be your specialist subject? So I've just said I'm bad at quizzes. Actually, I'm not bad at all quizzes. I'm usually okay on books and music. So if somebody asked that question, I would respond that. Okay, then we've got bubble bath day. So you could simply ask, how do you relax? If you have a product-based business or you have something that relates to bubble bath, great. I've had clients in the past who have, actually, they haven't even had pet-related businesses, but they've just posted a pic of their dog in the bath and they've asked other people to post theirs. And that's actually done really, really well. People love talking about themselves. They love sharing pictures. I mean, maybe not asking people to share pictures of themselves in the bath, but you could do. So that's bubble bath day. The next one is peculiar people day, which is on January the 10th. So for me, I immediately think, would you regard yourself as an eccentric or what's your most eccentric habit? A little tip that I would give you there is if you want to increase the chances of people replying, give them some choices. So you could say, what's your most eccentric habit? And you could list three or four ideas, A, B, C, or D. You can ask people to tell you which one, and you can, your D could be an option for people to suggest something else themselves. You could also say, for example, you're an accountant or you're a solicitor or something, you could say, people often say that these type of people are eccentric, true or false. There's a post there. So this stuff doesn't need a lot of thinking. It's just asking questions, okay? So week three, we've got National Dress Up Your Pet Day. So what would I do with that? I might post a pic of my pet dressed up and ask people to post pics of theirs. Or if I wanted to be controversial, I might ask, do you think it's cruel to dress up your pet? Yes or no, instant post. Then we've got National Nothing Day. Do you ever do nothing, or what does doing nothing mean to you? That could be a nice post, or you could tell people, you know, I sometimes have a nothing day and I sit and watch Netflix or whatever it is that you do. What do you do with your day when you have nothing to do? Then we've got Ditch New Year's Resolutions Day. So that's on the, what's the date of that? 17th of January. And you could do that, you know, have you ever kept a New Year's resolution? Have you made a New Year's resolution? Like, do you think it's worth making New Year's resolutions? There's so much that you could do with that particular date. Then we've got week four, Blue Monday, which is supposed to be the most depressing day of the year. So you could ask people, how do they feel in mid-January? Do they feel down in mid-January, or are there other times of the year that they feel down? You could ask people how they cheer themselves up when they're feeling down. Like, you could say, January is my worst month. I always feel fed up after Christmas. What's your worst month, or what's your best month? It's just about using your imagination. There's so much that you can do with it. Then we've got National Hug Day. So I would, with a post like that, I would ask people whether they would regard themselves as a hugger. How do they feel about other huggers? Do they miss hugging? Like, I'm recording this in the middle of a pandemic where we can't really hug anybody apart from the people we live with. Do they miss it? January the 3rd, National Handwriting Day. You could ask people, what's your handwriting like? You could talk about the fact that lots of us now, you know, I remember having to do like 3-hour exams, or I had to write for 3 hours. Not sure I could do that now. I have terrible, terrible handwriting. I really struggle. You could ask about that. You could also ask if people believe in graphology, which is the study of handwriting and how it influences your personality. You could show something handwritten. For National Handwriting Day last year, I showed a handwritten diary that I'd kept of when my daughter was a premature baby and was in hospital. And it's the only time I've ever kept a diary, and it's all handwritten. It's quite painful to read, but that got really good engagement. I showed a picture of some of the inside pages. So perhaps you've got something handwritten that you think is really special. You can ask other people about it. January the 26th, National Spouses Day. So you could ask people, like, what's the thing you love most about your spouse? Or maybe if they're divorced, what did you like least about your spouse? Again, there's so much that you can do with that day. It is just all about asking good questions. So I've just written, my podcast timer thingy is now on 11 minutes. So I've done that in 10 minutes. So that is three posts. That's three posts for each week. Could be repurposed across different platforms. Obviously, if you want to spend a bit longer and do one every day, I think with awareness days, I think if every post you do is an awareness day, people would start to probably get a bit tired of it. But if you wanted to do that, you know, there's three good posts a week. So method two is content curation. I think a lot of people mistakenly feel that everything that you post on social media has to be your content. And actually, one of the most effective ways to not only create really engaging content, but also to get more engagement is to share other people's content. So this is a strategy that I use on Instagram. If you want to go over and have a look, I'm on Janet Murray UK. And actually, I figured out quite early on when I really started to grow my audience on Instagram, and I've grown it by over 10,000 in the last year. I figured out something really early that other people's content, some of it was a lot better than mine. So, you know, on Instagram, you get those really poignant quotes that make people think. I realized that other people were better at writing those sorts of things than I am. So I started to go through other people's quotes, and I started to not just pick them out randomly, but I thought about the kind of content and the messages that resonated with my own audience. And I started to curate quotes that I felt would resonate with my own audience. I do style them up in my own branding and my own colors and my own fonts, but I clearly credit the person. I clearly say where it's from. I tag them in. I credit them like right at the top of my caption. So it's really clear that it's their content and not mine. And I think you would struggle to find somebody that would object to that, because generally what you're doing is you're putting their content in front of a new audience. But it's always worth checking. So often if you go to somebody's content creator's platform, particularly if they're an artist or illustrator, this is where I'd be careful. If they're an artist, illustrator, photographer, because there may be some issues around copyright. However, particularly with illustrators, I've noted they've often got something in their Instagram highlights, so just above their grid, where they will tell you what their view is on sharing. And if you're not sure, just send a message and ask. So I would spend in your half an hour. I would actually, there's a little bit of prep that I would do before you do curation. I would go through your Google Doc, or I would go through your Dropbox, wherever you keep your social media posts that you've already written, or any email copy that you've written. And what I would look out for is any stories. So any stories that you've told, any posts that you've written that have done particularly well, or any pieces of writing that you've done, like, wow, people really resonated with that. They really cared about that subject. I would just bung those all onto a Word document or a Google document so you've got them. I'll tell you why in just a second. And the kind of thing you're looking for, I'm just thinking of some examples from my Instagram. So the time my teacher told me I wouldn't amount to anything, the time my friend told me I was a loser, the time I met my hero. So just think about, it's those kind of, I call them tiny moments. So those turning points, those moments, those stories, that things that have happened to you or happened to people that you know that you think other people could resonate with. It's generally those sorts of things, and particularly on Instagram, but actually on any platform. So just make sure you've got those to hand, because you might need them. So just go through. Have a look. So look at some accounts where they are creating content for a similar audience to yours. Like, what's doing well? So have a look. Like, what's getting lots of likes? What's getting lots of shares? And just look at, I often think the things that stop me in the feed and the things that I think, oh, wow, you know, that's really made me think. They're the kind of things that I would save and then repurpose my own audience. So it's good to start off with a clear idea of what it is. So if you've done my Instagram Success Academy course, you'll know we spend quite a lot of time thinking about, well, who is your audience? Who do you want to talk to? What do you want to say to them? But you know, it's well worth, before you sit down doing this, just being clear, who is your audience? What do you want to say to them? What kind of things, what messages would resonate with them? And that can take a little bit of practice as well. So it might take you a few months of doing this. Could take you 2 or 3 months of doing this to start to see some patterns. But just go with what you know for the moment. Pick out some posts that you think could be quite good. I think it's fine to style them up in your own branding as long as you are giving full credit. And if there is any doubt at all about copyright, that it's always best just to reach out to the person. Just say, hey, I'd love to share this. Is that okay with you? So what I would do in your session is I would just screenshot all of the posts, or you can actually save them on Instagram, the posts that you're interested in. I wouldn't worry about the artwork side of it. I'll tell you about that in just a second, because you can actually just share other people's screenshots of other people's posts. That can be fine. But I would try and write your captions, because that's the bit that can take the time. Another misconception about social media posts, and particularly in Instagram in general, is that they have to be long. A lot of my Instagram captions are just one line. So remember that next time you're doubting your ability. Double tap if this resonates with you. Tag a friend who needs to hear this right now. They're call to action. So remember that, or you know, wise words from. If you have a look through my Instagram, you'll see that often they're very, very, very short to the point, because often the quote or the image actually speaks for itself. You know, you don't need to kind of go into any more detail than that. So that's one type of caption, which is the call to action caption. If you want to do this really quick, you could pick out 12 images that you really like, and you could write 12 statements, and you could probably do that in like a few minutes. Like, it wouldn't take you very long at all. If you want to mix it up a little bit, you could include the other two types of content that I teach. I have templates for this actually inside my Instagram Success Academy. I have templates for creating Instagram captions, but they could also be used on other platforms. So we have the story caption. So that's when you do exactly that. You tell a story. And I do have a three-step process. It's probably for another episode that I teach on how to actually tell a story in a caption without including loads of superfluous stuff that other people don't want to hear. But it really is about getting straight to the point, not having an introduction, getting straight to the action and just telling a story. And that's why I said to you, it's good before you sit down to do this, if you can sit down and just gather together if there's any other little stories that you've written in emails or social media posts that have done well, because you may well be able to adapt them for that. And that's the really, you know, a really important part of batching, like starting off by what have I got already? There might be something that I can repurpose. I do that all the time. Then we've got the third type of caption, which is what I call the explainer caption. So it's just when you explain. So you might share a quote and you just say, I'm sharing this with you because it highlights how important this particular thing is. Again, I've got templates inside my Instagram Success Academy, which break it down and show you what to do paragraph by paragraph. But it really is that. It's just explaining, this is why I wanted to share this image with you, because it shares this really important point or message. All of those ones. So the call to action caption, the first type I talked about, a sentence or two, absolutely fine. No more than that. Story caption, I would say three short paragraphs, otherwise it starts to get boring. Explainer caption, you can do it in a paragraph. It might take a couple of paragraphs, but super short. So you might decide if you want to get this knocked out really quick that you just do 12 posts, which just have a call to action, which just say, remember that, or wise words, or just what I needed to hear today. Like, again, I've got templates and prompts in this course inside my Instagram Success Academy, but have a look on my feed and have a look at how I do it. So that's three types of posts created, really easy. And although I've talked about Instagram there, you could create those types of posts. You can create content on other platforms. It's just about kind of understanding your audience and what they need to hear. And so the last method I have for you is a listicle. So this is basically when you create a list of, could be three, could be five, doesn't have to be a lot, but a short list of tips. So typically, these tips will be ways to do something, reasons to do something, ideas for tips on. But here's some examples of the type of posts that I've created this way. So four ways to get more done in less time. Five ways to create a niche for your business. Six reasons your business should be on Pinterest. Five quick ideas for engaging stories. So what you're talking about there is three or four sentences. So if I was to say to you now that you needed to create two of those for a week, and I was to set a timer and say, just think about, you know, the things that you get asked in your business. Can you write me four tips? So if you could come up with 8 or 12 of those ideas, it really wouldn't take you very long. If you know your subject or you know your product well, it shouldn't take you any time at all to write lists of tips. So I would suggest this type of post, you could do a couple of these a week. It could be repurposed across your social media platforms for different audiences. And if you came up with a list of, you know, three ways to, four tips for, and you put that out twice a week, if you were to sit down and write 8 or 12 of those, I'm pretty sure you could do that in 8 to 12 minutes. I've given you some ideas there. So some of mine are four ways to get more done in less time, five ways to create a niche for your business, six reasons your business should be on Pinterest, five quick ideas for engaging stories. I think I've done five tips for using hashtags on Instagram. The key with these listicles is to make them really, really niche. If you make them too big and too wide, they'll be harder to do. But if you can just take one tiny topic, one question that people ask you a lot. Say, for example, if I was creating these type of posts to sell my media diary, I would think about the problem that my media diary solves. So it helps people come up with content ideas, helps to save time on content planning, helps people to stay consistent, on track. So I think, okay, like what post could I create around that? I'm pretty sure I could sit down now and just to do this live, I will just reel some off the top of my head, but I could come up with 8 or 12 little listicles that I could create. So around content planning and creation, so it could be three tips for three ways to come up with social media ideas quick, which is what I'm doing now. Three ways to use hashtags in your social media, or three tips on using hashtags. I could have one on three tips on staying consistent with your content planning. that one, four ways to get more done in less time, that would work for content creation. There's no reason why you can't repeat ideas or reuse or recycle ideas. If I was doing this on for content for my diary, it might be five tips to write social media captions, or five ways to write social media captions, or five styles of social media caption that you can write quick. You can even take the one thing, social media captions, and you can come up with different angles on the same thing. So have a think about what it is that you do. What are the top questions that people ask you? And then just break them down into little listicles. So let's say, for example, you're a stylist and you specialize in working with people over 40. What are the key things that people ask you? What kind of hairstyle might suit me in my 40s? Or tips on fringes in your 40s? Or tips on what kind of jeans to get in your 40s? Or tips on colours in your 40s? So it's just about taking your thing that you do and your niche, your product, your service, and just finding a really tiny area of it and just coming up with three or four tips. And I'm pretty sure that you could sit for half an hour and you probably think you can't do it. And the key to doing this is to not stop. Is just to write whatever comes in your head. Don't worry about it all being nicely written. Just sit. You know, if you could come up with 8 or 12 topics where you could do these, I call them listicles, you know, three ideas for five ways to, and just don't worry about the writing being perfect. Just write down what comes out when you think of that. If you had to give three or four tips or ideas or ways to do something, what would they be? Don't overthink it. Don't worry about making mistakes. And you'll actually probably be pretty surprised. If you set a timer on your phone, I really would recommend that you do that. You'd be amazed actually how much content you can get created in a short space of time when you don't overthink it, when you have a structure, when you have an agenda. You know, one of the problems that people struggle, one of the reasons people struggle with social media content is to just kind of sit down with a blank page. But if you're saying, actually, in this half an hour, I'm going to create 8 or 12 of this particular style of post. I know exactly what kind of post it is. Each one needs to have 3 or 5 tips in it on a specific topic. I've got all my topics in front of me. Then this stuff should be super easy for you to create. When you find it hard to come up with social media content ideas, it's often because you don't have a structure. And in all of these examples that I've shared here, so the awareness days, that gives you a structure. So all you need to do is to look in your diary, or you can look them up online and choose 3 awareness days for each week and come up with a question. You know, that is all you need to do. For the second example that I gave you, which was curation, all you need to do is to, first of all, just have a quick look and see what you've written before. Have you written any stories or social media posts that could be repurposed? And then literally just look through Instagram, or look through Pinterest, or look through another social media platform. Well, Pinterest isn't a social media platform, it's a search engine, but that's a whole other episode. But that will be a good place to look for ideas. And just see what other people have shared. And particularly on Instagram, this does work really well, and share other people's content, fully credited. But that's your job for the half an hour, is just to look at what other people are doing and just write one, you know, it could be just one line on each post. And you can worry about creating the artwork side of it a little bit later. So you might be thinking at this stage, well, this sounds all very well, Janet, but this is what you do all the time and this is easy for you. And, you know, I would concede that I've been creating content for years and years, coming up with ideas is my thing. And yes, I probably am a bit quicker than you, but you can totally learn this. I've seen this happen in my clients where they've gone from being like, I have no idea what's supposed to be, like, oh, okay. So I just take an awareness day and I just think of a question that I could ask about it. Oh, that's easy. And I've seen the transformation. So it is possible. If you're part of my Build Your Online Audience program, this is the type of activity that would be really good for you to do in one of my Get It Done sessions. So if you haven't heard about them, they are focused co-working sessions where they're 45 minutes long. Beginning of the session, you join, you're working on Zoom with others from the group, which sounds a bit weird, but it's not at all. Once you've done it a few times, you put in the chat what it is that you're going to get done in that session. And at the end, you have to unmute and tell people what you got done. Really powerful, really great way to get things done, but also to start to understand how long things take you. And what you'll probably notice is that when you don't overthink it, when you have a timer, when you don't stop to correct every single word, because you can sort that all out afterwards, you can actually get a lot of content created really, really quickly. So that's one thing that I wanted to reassure you about, is that it is possible to learn how to do this. I'm giving you frameworks and giving you structures that make it much easier. The other thing I wanted to tackle is what might happen when you create content like this is, well, first of all, it might take you a while to get the questions right. So you might find to start off with. And this is why you need to go back and check that maybe your questions are a bit big and open. Get feedback. Like if a post has bombed, this is where something like my Build Your Online Audience program would come in really helpful, because you could come into the group and say, everyone, just sharing this in a safe space, but this didn't work. Can anyone tell me why? And somebody who's not you and not part of your business will probably be able to tell you why, and you'll gradually get better asking better questions. It's usually about being more narrow, being more niche, giving a clear call to action, all that kind of stuff. So the other thing that comes up a lot when people start posting regular content is, okay, well, I've posted this thing. I did what you said, Janet, but I didn't get any engagement, or didn't get enough engagement. Let me tell you the secret to this, okay? Are you listening? This is the secret that nobody says apart from me. When you first get onto a new social media platform, be it Instagram, Facebook, or whatever, the way the algorithm works is this, is that the more people who engage with your content, so by that I mean like, comment, and share, the more people that platform will show your content to. So if you've got 100 likes on your Facebook page, if you put something up and people comment, like, and share on it, Facebook will be like, oh, okay, so this person's quite new, but they are obviously creating content that people find engaging. So it'll show it to more people. That's how the algorithm works. So what a lot of people do, what most people do, in fact, is they just sit back. So they post on Instagram, they like drum their fingers almost. They just sit back and go, hey, I've posted my thing now. I've done my work. That is not your work, okay? When you're first getting going on a platform, you have to go out and get the engagement. If it's not happening naturally, then you need to go out and get it. So that might mean having a little group of friends that you get together with, and ideally people that would be your ideal customers or clients, because what you don't want to do is build up an audience of people on your page who are not your ideal customers and clients. However, this is a debate that comes up a lot. There's also a real argument for just having some engagement on your content. Because if somebody stops by your page, or it's the whole thing about, you know, if a teacher, when you're at school and the teacher asks a question, no one wants to be the first person to put their hands up. The more people are commenting and engaging with your post, the more other people will feel comfortable to post. So this might mean you behind the scenes grabbing ideally some friends, ideally some people or colleagues that are kind of in your space and could potentially be your customer, so you're not growing the wrong audience. But beggars can't be choosers. So when you first start out, it might actually mean grabbing a friend or your mum or somebody just to post on it, just to make it look busy, just to encourage other people. And of course, you've got to bear in mind that some people, they use this as an excuse for not going out there and getting uncomfortable and asking for engagements. They say, oh yes, but I don't want to build the wrong audience on my page. I heard this guru telling me that if I was to get my mum or my friend to post, then that would build the wrong kind of audience. But what are you going to balance up is okay, so are you just going to sit there and have no engagement on your page, or are you going to do something about it? And this is the reality. I don't think people talk about this enough, getting on my soapbox a bit here, but when you first are trying to build an audience on social media, you can't just sit back and wait for people. Like, you do have to, you know, some of it might be about commenting on other people's content, because then they'll go and have a nose at yours, but you've got to do something. You can't just kind of sit back and hope that people are going to find your content, because it's not going to happen. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I've tried this and I've tried posting regularly, I've tried awareness dates, there could be two things going on. One, your content isn't perhaps quite right, in which case, get some advice. Like, if you're not in my Build Your Online Audience program at the moment, come into the group and come and join us, and then you can share your post and I will give you feedback and others will give you feedback. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be with me. Find somebody else that is a good content creator, or another group that you can belong to where you can get, you know, really good feedback from people who know about content. But, you know, don't just sit there thinking it's the algorithm. Don't just sit there thinking that it's somebody else's problem or someone else's problem. Like, you have the power to change this. When you first start putting content out, yeah, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while to get your questions right, your captions right. You have to practice a little bit. You know, the same as anything. And you also crucially have to go out and get that engagement. And if you found this episode useful, then do come and join me at my Batch Your Content Like a Boss Masterclass. It's happening on November the 26th. So that's 2020 if you're listening in the future. But if you are listening in the future, then don't worry. You can still get hold of the replay if you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/batch-your-content-like-a-boss. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/batch-your-content-like-a-boss. I would love to see you there.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.